Welcome, and welcome back to the latest edition of Brandler Bits. I'm Jeff Brandler. For those of you who don't know me, let me introduce myself. I am a marriage and family therapist, practicing in the state of New Jersey. I have certifications in addictions and clinical hypnotherapy. So what is Brandler Bits, you might say? Brandler Bits are tiny morsels of ideas that you can gather from, and you can hear, and you can digest, without breaking much of a sweat. Today on Brandler Bits, we're going to talk about communication. This is the topic that I like to talk about. All of the previous examples of my blogs on communication are at my website, which is www.changeispossible.org. You can read all of them there. But today, we're going to do a Brandler Bit so you can hear it and digest it and use it in your daily life. Let's go forward. Imagine that you're at a job interview. You are prepared to answer questions, but are understandably anxious. You notice that you begin to feel a little warmer, a little flushed. Ultimately, you begin to sweat, but only you are aware of it. You answer all of the questions, feel exhausted, and as you change out of your interview clothes, you become aware of how much you were sweating. You were having sweaty conversations. Prior to the pandemic, I had an office, which I had for more than 25 years. Due to the unpredictable nature and temperature of the office, I had both a heater and a fan. I was prepared for all climates. Many times in the midst of some emotional conversations, clients said to me, "Can you turn on the fan? It's really warm in here." It was a sign to me about the client's reaction to the topic. The topic was causing discomfort and causing them to sweat. Sweaty conversations were occurring. Why do we have sweaty conversations? When we are anxious or embarrassed, our sympathetic nervous system releases hormones, including adrenaline, which activate our sweat glands. This is the biological explanation. But it's considerably more than that. When people are involved in close, important conversations, for example, in my office, people tend to let their guard down. They tend to allow themselves to be vulnerable. They tend to allow themselves to trust. As a result, the sweatiness of the conversation can be called intimacy. In any relationship, you want there to be intimacy. An intimate relationship is one where you trust the person. It's one where you can let your guard down. It's where you can allow yourself to be vulnerable. You can say, "Hey, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm really uncomfortable telling you, but I really want you to know this." Therapy is all about intimacy. Your relationship with your partner is all about intimacy as well. Without intimacy, there is a limitation in the connection of the relationship. When this connection is less than it needs to be, people identify feelings of frustration and dissatisfaction. They can classify this lack of connection with their words. "You know, we don't quite talk the way we used to. We're not nearly as close as we used to be. Why can't we just sit down and have a conversation about something other than a social media post, some dates that we're putting on the calendar, or Netflix movies?" But people are content to be in relationships with little or no intimacy. We don't have time today to examine the multitude of reasons for this, but here is a short list. Issues from growing up, a violation of trust in a previous relationship, a previous trauma. These issues and others need to be resolved in order to improve your intimacy. In addition to the longer, painful resolution of major problems, what are some ways that couples can improve their intimacy? There are three ways. Number one, spend uninterrupted time with each other. This means no TV, no phone, no distractions. I know what you're thinking. We have no time for that. Think small, 15 to 30 minutes. Number two, acknowledge and validate. If your partner does something that you like, say, "Thank you. I appreciate that. Get into the habit of complimenting your partner, which is something way more than you look nice. Compliment the things that they do. Compliment the small things. When I've suggested this to couples, I've gotten eye rolls and sighs and dirty looks. You know the look. When they return back the next session, the very same couples were very playful about exaggerating their thank yous and compliments. Number 3, discovery and rediscovery. Go back in time with each other. Remember how you got together. Discuss the past. Enjoy the past. Perhaps do some things that you've enjoyed in the past. And do something new. Get out of the routine, do something that is new and different. Take a healthy risk. Explore things that are not within your comfort zone. In all 3 of these ways, you are shaking up the status quo of your relationship. Something different is likely to occur. If you increase your intimacy with your partner, your sweating quotient, SQ, will increase. As a result, your relationship will get better and you will have a solid partnership. To paraphrase Thomas Edison, relationships are 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. On a personal note, I recently attended a wedding in my family. It was strange in this post-COVID world to see people that I have not seen in 3 years. Reconnections occurred quickly. In addition, it was great to see the bride and groom share their story of how they met and how they look forward to their future adventures with one another. As a therapist, I rarely, if ever, get to see this part of the story. It was refreshing. Congrats to the new couple. If you have questions about today's Brandler Bits, feel free to contact me at my website, www.changeispossible.org. Check out the previous editions of the Bits. They won't get in the way of our busy lifestyles, and you might discover something about yourself that you do not know. For Brandler Bits and the entire Change is Possible family, have a great Thanksgiving.